You alone can move the mountains. You are the author of salvation, and in Jesus we have the one who conquered the grave and rose from death to life to bring us life. But there's more. It's not just that you've given us life. You called us to love others as you have loved us. That means that you call us to share the love and abundant grace that you have gifted us with others. We are not to hoard it for ourselves. It's a gift you've called us to share. God, forgive us for getting caught up in this world. Forgive us for losing our true identity. We're not Chinese or Taiwanese or American first. We are not teachers or doctors or engineers first. We are not great singers or athletes or instrumentalists first. We are your children first, created in your image and likeness. This is who we are. Forgive us for losing ourselves to the things and the ways of this world. Forgive us for losing our purpose in life. Teach us, O God, to leave this earth with our mission accomplished, the one that you have given us, the one where you call us to spread your love to others so that they too may be saved and be known by you. May we live our lives according to your kingdom's ways. Open our eyes, Lord, and move our hearts and hands and feet in response to your call. God, may we not be ambivalent, comfortable, or distracted. Turn our hearts back to our true identity and calling. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship at this time through a reading of God's word. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:1-7. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you an understanding in everything. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. This morning, we have a guest speaker, Pastor Afif Halaza. He is going to be giving us our message today, and he has been giving us our messages this weekend for our missions conference, Missions is Me. He is a Moabite pastor, and if you remember correctly, in the book of Ruth, Ruth comes from the country of Moab, okay? So I thought that was a really interesting thing about him. He currently lives in Jordan, and he is a leader in the church planting movement in Arab nations, leading many to Christ. And if you were here on Friday, you will also know that he is the first to tell you that he is not a chicken, but that he is a mighty, mighty eagle. So at this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Afif up to present our message.
I'm honored to be invited to this church to share the word of God. So I would like to extend my appreciation and thanks to the leadership who invited me, took the risk. They didn't know much about me, but they believed a godly man who told them that I'm okay. So I hope I am okay. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Middle East. God is moving all over the Middle East and North Africa in a way never happened before. We are seeing hundreds and thousands and ten thousands of Muslims coming to the Lord. But they don't have the privilege like you and I to to worship in above ground like this. They are in underground house churches. Because once you are a Muslim, you are always a Muslim. And some of them right now, especially in Yemen, they are in jail. They've been over a year in jail. Others lost their lives for the sake of their faith. They are my heroes. Friday, I was preaching about identity and destiny. And I was comparing the gospel of salvation to the gospel of the kingdom. And me being provocative, I try to stretch things a little bit. I do believe in the gospel of salvation, but I believe that's not the full gospel of the kingdom. I believe Jesus came to save us, but that wasn't his ultimate goal. It was the tool to restore God's image in us and God's likeness and to restore us to our position and authority so God may, through us, establish his kingdom. So when I said the gospel of salvation is a heresy, what I meant, it's only a small fragment of the reality. Because the gospel of salvation, it's all about me not going to hell. While the gospel of the kingdom, it's all about him. Amen? And I hope that explained to those who maybe didn't, I wasn't clear to them and they misunderstood me. Today, I want to share with you that we are all in debt to all the peoples of the earth, that they might hear the gospel in the same measure we have heard and received it. And we find the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul to write about it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But God, there is a principle in the kingdom of God. Jesus never asks us to do something unless he's before asking, he would have provided all what it takes so we might be able to obey him. He never asks us to do something he has not done it himself first. That is why in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 1, Luke is writing to his friend about all things Jesus did and taught. I challenge anybody to show me something Jesus commanded us to do. He didn't do it first. He's our second Adam. He took our place. He took our garbage, our sin, our failure, and he gave us what is his. So in him, we are restored to the image of God. So therefore, before even Paul is writing to the church, he is said to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. I hear churches, congregation praying for more power. And I wonder sometimes, why do they need this power? We all want to be powerful. God said to his disciple, tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So you become great men and women? No. So you may become my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, all over the earth, to the ends of the earth. So the good news that the power and the strength is available to every Christian because it is by grace which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace. We are empowered by grace. Everything we receive from God, it's a free gift in Christ. It's all by grace. Therefore, there is no excuse for any Christian to be a weak believer. There is no excuse for any Christian not to obey God totally. Because God provides the strength and the power we need in grace through Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be the men and the women God wants us to be. So the good news, power, strength is available, a free gift in Christ. So don't start complaining. And don't find excuses for yourself not to be a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. Because it's given free by grace. And God is willing to give us that strength when we are willing to use it for His purposes. Not to entertain others. Not that people will talk about us, we are mighty men of God. No, it's not all about us. It's all about Him. So he said to him, my son, be strong. He is giving him a command. He's not giving him an option. Be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is a debt need to be paid. There is responsibility. And you cannot do it with your own power. Because he's saying to him, all the things you have heard me, all the things you learned from me in the presence of many people, now you are to pass on to other people who are qualified, reliable, who have integrity of heart, who have skillful hands, so they might take it to the next generation. You know, I like to read between the lines. Sometimes even I like to do my own translation of the Bible. So I'm going now to tell you my Moabite translation, which doesn't exist anywhere, only here, of verse 2. The way I understand verse 2, listen carefully. We are in debt to all peoples that they might receive the gospel in the same measure we have received it. You are in debt. And guess what? Every time you grow in your relationship and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, your debt is becoming greater. Every time you mature in the knowledge and the experience of the Lord and you become a mature man, that is the time when your debt is becoming bigger and bigger. And you need God's power to pay off that debt to the others. Yes, my friends, if it wasn't for reliable, qualified men who came and they passed on what they have received, we wouldn't be here, none of us. And now it is our turn. Now it is our job. What we have learned, what we have experienced, what we have received from the Lord, that is our debt to the others. Everywhere. And God is enabling us by His own power, the power of the Holy Spirit, so we might become witnesses, we might become preachers of the good news of the gospel of the kingdom to the people around us and sometimes beyond as He calls us. But He said, these people we want to teach, they need to have two qualities, reliable and skillful, qualified. You remember I mentioned about King David that he served God's purposes in his generation and he fell asleep. Well, my friends, In Psalm 78 and verse 70 to 72, we hear more information. How did David serve God's purposes in his generation? And then he fell asleep. He went to be with the Lord. The word of God tells us that God, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart and skillful hands. That's how we are supposed to pay our debt. That is how we are supposed to serve God's purposes in our generation. With integrity of heart and with skillful hands. The word integrity is a very interesting word. I remember 12 years ago I went on a mission to Taiwan with my dear wife. And I ran out of fresh socks. So I thought, it's cheaper in Taiwan and probably better quality, which was true. So I went to shop with my wife instead of washing my socks and my clothes. And I went to near around the corner from the hotel where I was staying in Taipei. I found a shop and I bought some new socks. But I had a problem. After using them once, I couldn't tell what is the inside from the outside because they were done in almost perfect way. The inside matches the outside. And that is the meaning of integrity. When what is inside that people don't see it, the ideas and the thoughts in your mind that people don't hear, it's exactly the words you utter. It's exactly the action you do. When you become simple, what is inside matches the outside. Most of the time, we are acting. Most of the time, oh, people, how are you? You know, I hate anybody in America to ask me, how are you? You know how they do it? They say, hi, how are you? And they walk. They don't wait to listen. So why do you ask me? They don't mean it. And we don't mean many things. We are supposed to say what we mean and mean what we say. This is Christianity. This is integrity of heart. There are times when there are hymns, wonderful hymns. But I am not ready to say them because they don't reflect what's inside of me. And do you know what I do? I shut up my mouth. I don't sing it. It's about time we ask God the Holy Spirit to purify us and help us to be men and women of integrity. The inside matches the outside. The words we tell people how much we love them and appreciate them is the reflection of our inner heart. Not only trying to be nice. These are the men and the women God wants to use in this generation. And my prayer that you and I, we would spend enough time with God that God will transform us from inside outside. Make us real people, genuine, not actors. Most of the time we act like Christians. It's about time we be Christians. We be what we say. Because being is more important than doing. We are not here so we can perform. Our life is not performance. Our life has to be genuine. And this has to do with character. Let me use the New Testament language. This has to do with the fruit of the Spirit rather than the gift of the Spirit. Churches, they are spending much time on the gift of the Holy Spirit according to Galatians 5. According to Romans 12. But they don't spend enough time according to Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. We don't have anything to do with gifts. He gives gifts according to his will, the way he wishes. Gift, spiritual gift, doesn't reflect the state of your heart. It doesn't reflect your walk with God. It reflects the grace of God and the choice of God. And it's up to him to choose which gift to give us. But the character, the fruit of the Spirit, reflect our faithfulness, reflect our intimate relationship with him. So when I talk about integrity of heart, I'm talking about character. I'm talking about being like Jesus. So it's about time we pay more attention to the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit means a godly character, Christ-like character, integrity of heart. The sad thing, we ministers and leaders of ministries, we are tempted most of the time to choose people in our teams according to their gifting rather than according to their character. And may God have mercy on us. That's why we create a lot of problems, because we overlook the integrity of the heart, which is the most important qualification, because it reflects your walk with God. The second thing, skillful hands, qualified people. You see, God gave us his best. And he deserves our best. That is where you need more training. That is why you need to sharpen your gifting. That is why you need to improve yourself every time when you are serving Jesus. Every time you want to do better. Every time you want to do the best. And you don't stop growing and doing better and better. Because he deserves the best. The sad thing, when it comes to Christian service, we don't give God our best. The sad thing, even if it comes to giving in the kingdom of God, we always give the leftover. Even with our time, we give God our leftover. We don't give God our best. And let me tell you, God deserves your best because he has given you his best, himself. Don't you agree with me? So I pray that the Holy Spirit from this day on will transform our hearts and will help us from this day on give God our best. The first of our harvest. The best of our time, the best of our gifting, and we improve our gifting, we train ourselves, we polish our gifting because our God deserves better. These are the kind of people who can serve God's purposes in their generation. They are not content with what they have. They want more. They want to be better. They want to improve themselves. They want to make a real impact for the kingdom of God. So they work on themselves. They work on their relationship with God. You know, I've been serving God since 1977. Some of you were not born. And I've been preaching all over the Arab world. Every time till this day when I preach, it is as if it is the first time I'm preaching my first sermon. I'm nervous. And I prepare and I prepare. Even if I preach this sermon 10 times, that is why I have little papers like this. And after I finish, so I don't go to preach an old sermon. I need fresh manna. So I start seeking his face over as if I don't know anything. Do you know? I was up till 5 o'clock this morning working and praying and seeking God's face. Because God deserves our best. It's not only power, strength is by grace. We are in debt to all peoples. And the only way to pay it by the power of God through grace, which is available to us in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, we need to pay it as men of integrity and women of integrity, and we need to do it with skillful hands. Do our best. Then he gives three picture languages how we should do it. He said, as a good soldier. I remember when I entered the national service of the Jordanian army. I came back from England, feeling a little bit proud that I have, you know, graduated from Manchester University. I have so and so my professors. And as I arrived at the camp, they gave us the uniform and the boots. And they said, change. We changed. And they said, from now on. And it was a sergeant who hardly finished high school. And here, I'm coming from England. He's saying, from this day on, the only word I want to hear from you is, yes, sir. No questions, no argument. All what you do, you say, yes, sir, and you do it. And I don't care if you are convinced or not. Oh, boy, that broke us. A good soldier has one purpose in life, to please his commanding officer. We Christians, we're trained in complaining, arguing, even with God. Because that is how they train us. You need to understand everything. When it comes to Muslims, you know what they are told? This is written in the Quran. All what you do, you just follow it. You understand it or not, you need to have total submission to Allah and His Prophet. That is why they take their religion so seriously, more than we take our faith. So a good soldier doesn't entangle himself involved in civilian affairs. The Jordanian army, they are not allowed to participate, for example, in election. They are not allowed to be part of any political party because all their life they have one purpose, that the chief commander is pleased. And the only word they say to him, yes, sir. And they go for it. Are you willing to trust God this much? Don't you know him enough that he is trustworthy to give him such a trust? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I pray from this day on that all of us will become good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't like this military language. That's why we don't sing anymore, onward Christian soldiers marching us into war. We don't do it. But actually, we are in a war, a spiritual war. And we need to be good soldiers. A good soldier doesn't confuse himself with many things. He knows his priority in life. You know, I call him a single-minded person because he has one purpose in life: to please his commanding officer, to obey him, to do his will. And that is what we are supposed to do. If we live in such obedience to God and his word, we will transform this world. If we get our priority right with God, and we know that God and his kingdom should come first, and we don't need to worry about the other things. That is why a good soldier doesn't get involved in civilian affairs, because the one who inscribed you in his army, he is taking care of you. He will provide your clothes. He will take care of all these other things shall be added unto you. My friends, either we are men and women of faith, we believe in the word of God, or let's find another job. That's what the word of God says. And a good soldier? Yes, sir. The second picture, and my time is running, it talks about an athlete. It says an athlete will never receive the victor crown unless he plays according to the rules of the game. Oh, I will never forget. We call it back home football. You call it here soccer. I was in Manchester. Come on. I mean, Manchester United, Manchester City. But I had no clue about the soccer. I was a wrestler. I know nothing. So I sit in the sitting room with other students and pretend I understand what's going on. And always I support Manchester United because in those days they used to win. So I wanted to be with the winner. And they were playing. And I saw them with my own eyes. One of the players got the ball and he shot it there. Goal! He scored! So I jumped and I said, goal! But there is a guy called the referee. That referee, you know, he blew his whistle. Offside. What does that offside mean? I didn't know. I got so upset. Why he didn't count that goal? They scored. I saw it in front of the camera. Well, wasn't according to the rules of the game. Even it get worse. There were times I would watch American movies, and here is a policeman arresting a criminal, and suddenly the criminal walks out free. Why? Wasn't done according to the book. Till this day, I have a problem with it. Forgive me, I'm not so advanced like you guys. Democracy and human rights is not the big issue back home. Why you mean? He is the killer. He is criminal. Oh, the police, when they arrested him, they didn't read his rights to him. They didn't do it according to the book. So he walks out. Wow. Let me tell you, our destiny, our goal is holy. So our means should be holy too. Means don't justify. I mean, the goal doesn't justify our means. Our goal, our purpose, our aim is holy, to serve our Lord and his kingdom. So therefore, let's make sure the way we serve him, we play it according to the rules of this book, the book of the kingdom of God, the constitution of heaven on earth. So it is important that we do it according to his book. You know, when I was talking about identity, I reminded you, when you buy any device, you have a little booklet from the manufacturer, and there he tells you, if you follow the condition 1, 2, 3, that manufacturer will deliver what he's supposed to deliver. And we need to follow the instructions of our manufacturer, our creator, if we want to serve him and we deliver the destiny he has given us, which is the kingdom of God on earth. Thirdly, it talks about farmers. And let me tell you the truth. I believe farmers in the Middle East, they have more faith than the Church of God. I'll never forget one day, I grew up in a very poor family. We were 12 members. So when you invite me, you will recognize I eat fast, because I learned to eat fast to make sure I had enough. And we used even to borrow money with very high interest. So we buy wheat, not money. Borrow money to buy wheat, to make flour, to make bread. Because bread, till this day, is the main food of the Middle East, like rice in China. And I remember my dad had problem finding somebody to lend him money. But one day, it was just before Christmas, my dad got a big sack of wheat, put it on the donkey, drove the donkey to the field. And suddenly my dad opened the sack and he started filling his hands with the precious wheat and he started wasting it, throwing it in every direction. I was troubled. I thought my dad had a fight with my mother. And now he's going crazy, and now he's wasting our precious wheat. I ran to my mother. I said, Daddy is going crazy. He is wasting the wheat. And not only wasting the wheat, that beast called tractor came over and started blowing the ground and covering the wheat. We cannot even recollect it anymore. And my mother said, you are the crazy one. Your dad is sowing the seeds because the harvest will come when we will have plentiful of wheat. Not only enough for us to eat, enough to pay all our debts. You know, in the old days, the 12 of us, we were sleeping in one big room on the floor. And I remember, still, I couldn't believe my mother. I didn't see a harvest. I was young. And when my dad came in the evening, I could hear my mother telling him the story and my dad laughing. And I pretended I was asleep. I was afraid of his reaction. I called him crazy. But I remember winter started. But when my dad did sow the seed, it was sunny, it was dry. There is no assurance that rain would come. But guess what? The rain came. And spring came. And my dad, for the first time, he said, come for a walk with me. And he took me by my little hand, and he walked me to the field where he was throwing, wasting the precious wheat. And it was green, full of grass, up to here. He said, do you know what is this? I said, no. He said, that is the precious wheat you thought I was wasting. My son. And he started telling me about all his dreams of a great harvest. All the debts will be paid. There will be enough food for us for a whole year. And he said, probably I will have extra money and I'll buy you new clothes. Wow! Why on earth should we expect harvest when we don't sow by faith? Oh, it's not the right time. Just imagine if my dad said, today is sunny and dry, and I'm not sure there will be rain, so I don't want to waste the seed. So I'll wait till it rains. And when it rains, you cannot do. It's too late. There will be no harvest. Why on earth should we expect harvest when we did not sow the seed of the word of God everywhere? About 15 years ago, and I have 1 minute and a half, missionaries start sowing the word of God in Turkey. At that time, there were less than 5 known believers, Turkish, from Muslim background. But they kept sowing it to the point that you go to restaurants, you find leaflets, you find gospel, in taxis, you find it. They saturated the nation with the word of God. Guess what? Now, there are more than 200 above ground congregations in Turkey. There is a Bible society in Istanbul and in Ankara. Guess what? They have 2 Bible colleges in Turkey run by professors who were Muslims. They have even a satellite TV broadcast in Turkish. Why they have a great harvest? Because there was a great sowing. Let us keep sowing the seeds and trusting that the day will come when there will be a great harvest. But our problem, we want to sow and harvest at the same time. Nescafe mentality, instant food mentality. This doesn't work. If you want to see a revival in your nation, you need to keep sowing by faith the word of God, knowing that his word will never return empty to him. May God bless you and thank you. Father, I thank you for this congregation. And I pray, Father, that you would enable each one of us to pay off our debt, Father. And that we will pay it as men and women of integrity. And we will pay it with skillful hands. We will, Father, be one single-minded people. Single-minded. Just our desire is to please you, first of all, to obey you. Yes, Master, I pray that this church will be known for their obedience, total obedience to you and to your commandments. Help us to play it according to the book. Help us, Father, to have faith and sow the seed in faith, knowing the harvest is coming. We bless you, Father. I pray and I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. God bless you.